Good morning, church. Let's go to God in prayer as we start off the message for this morning. Dear God in heaven, we thank you so much, Lord, for who you are in our lives. Lord, you are not just a figment of our imagination. Our lives have been riveted, O Lord God, by experiences, O Lord, of your word and your reality. And we thank you so much, Lord God, at this time, Lord, as we break bread, we pray for the Holy Spirit just to come, O Lord God, and minister to us today. We love you, Lord, and we bless you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. I would like to be starting off reading from the book of Romans, chapter number 1, verse 8, and jumping into verse number 16. Could we all rise for the reading of God's word, please? Romans 1, 8, and jumping number 16. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in prayer, in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now that at last God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. Verse number 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jews, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. You may be seated. We have a powerful sermon series for a couple of weeks, and we have a good feast last Sunday through our elder pastor slash nurse, Eric Bilarga, on the character of grace, but if we follow the series, it would be the undeserved. We started off with the undeserved favor and the waiting father, followed by the essence of grace and the character of grace. And today we'll be having the just shall live by faith. I had a very wonderful experience, though, about grace last Thursday, because Friday I was off. For some reason, I was traveling to my workplace in Baytown in chaplaincy work. And I was head of the pack in 288. The road is 288. And for some reason, I became so thirsty. Normally, I have some water, bottled water with me. And that Thursday, I was not able to bring any water bottle. So I was so thirsty all of a sudden. It is so unusual. So what I did was, I remembered my wife, Tess, packed me some cherries. Now, by the way, don't do this when you're driving. So I just can't hold my thirst. And I said, wow, okay, maybe I could kind of steal a little cherry from my lunch pack, and it was just beside me in the passenger seat. And I basically went to a slower lane, get behind a truck, and the vehicles behind, because I was ahead of the pack, suddenly zoomed ahead of me, and there was this police officer. And he caught the truck behind me. And I say, God, thank you for the thirst and thank you for the cherry. So that cherry, it tasted real good. But I was reminded of God's grace following us all. Yeah, there are certain things that we could not understand, but the Lord shows up in our circumstances in life. And so thank God for grace. And the foundation, of course, of this is through the word pistis. And in the word pistis, which is the word for faith in Greek, we find that these words would say firmly persuaded. Faith means we are firmly persuaded. And pistis is also tied up with the word lordship. So say, for example, if you would have surgery and you'd be saying, I have faith, I have pistis, that this surgeon will do the right thing. So you would allow the surgeon to have lordship over the procedure. So when you say, I have faith in God, that is tied up with the reality that He is Lord over you and over me. And so with that root word, it would be good for us to qualify whether we have truly have faith in God, and the token of our faith in God is that we recognize His lordship over us. Amen? So, veering away from grace, we have Ephesians 2:8-9, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one would boast. So grace and faith are so tied up together. And so in this sequencing of our messages here in church, we appreciate the grace of God, but alongside that is the token of our faith. In Hebrews 11:6, it says there, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. For if anyone comes to Him, must believe that He exists, and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So, by faith, we are able to please God. Because the reality of God and the substance of who God is and His work in our lives is only seen through the eyes of faith. And by that, He rewards us. The theologian Warren Wiersbe comments about faith. Faith is an absolute confidence in God that leads to unrelenting obedience to His lordship. Faith is not a luxury, it is a necessity. So it's confidence in God that leads to unrelenting obedience to His lordship. So faith and obedience is solicited by true faith. The theologian John Calvin's definition of faith says, a steady and certain knowledge of the divine benevolence towards us, which being founded on the truth of the gratuitous promise in Christ, in both revealed to our minds and confirmed in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So the truth of Christ, by the faith that He has given us, qualifies that it is real by the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us. So we all acknowledge that the Lord Holy Spirit is inside of us, and He is able to teach us. When Christ was about to leave earth in John 16, He has promised the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit makes real to us the substance of who God is. So the question is qualified here. What does it mean that the just shall live by faith? If this is a picture, a snapshot picture of who I am, and I am justified by God's grace by faith, where am I in my faith walk with God? Am I living by faith? So that would be a qualifying question. Hebrews 11:1-2 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. So the ancients, where they have established the foundation for our faith, have been commended because of their faith as well. We are no different from them. Even from Abel, when he was sacrificing an animal during the time that they have been separated from God through sin, Abel was commended by his faith in God. He has offered a better sacrifice than Cain. So we celebrate faith. There's a celebration for faith. In 1 Peter 1:3-9, it says here, Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope. It is not a dead hope. It's a living hope, folks. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven just for you and just for me. So our faith is saying we have an inheritance in the Lord, from the Lord, through our Lord Jesus Christ, that is being secured and kept in heaven. It's like a bank secured for us in heaven. Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. And so there would be this time called the last time, that all this, the beauty of our faith, will be revealed in God, in Christ. In verse number 6, it says here, "In this you greatly rejoice, though for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith and my faith, your pistis and my pistis, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." Your faith, your pistis, and my pistis, there is no gold in the world that could buy it, that is worth comparing to it. You know, in the hospital, we have, I remember a doctor, he was so wealthy, have a lot of resources, and they discovered that he has stage 4 cancer. All the wealth, all the gold, all the properties that he had could not buy his healing. And sadly, he didn't have any faith in God. And so with this, when trouble came, he didn't have any faith. He just died with fear. Verse number 8, "Though you have not seen him," now by faith you could see him though, but physically, "though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." So you are still, and I am still, filled with joy because we could see him by our faith. His reality is settled in our spirit. I remember in the hospital also, there's this this old lady, and she was dying, and the doctor says that she only has a couple of weeks to go. And according to my friend, who is the mom of that patient, my friend said, "My mother told me very strictly that don't put me into those machines, those life machines. I want to see my Jesus. Don't try to save me. If he is done with me here, I want to go home. And I don't want you to be in the way of my going home." That is such a strong faith. And that really blessed me with hearing that. And for sure, that mama went to heaven in just a few weeks' time. So faith is such a solid thing. It's not an imaginary thing. Now, there would be a tragedy of aborted faith. There's a lot of people that they give up, especially in this time. People will be saying, you know, they've been very faithful going to Sunday school and what have you. As they grow old, they come to a place that they don't care about their faith no more. In Hebrews 4, 1 and 2, it says here, "Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it." The potential of falling short in our faith is there, for each and every one of us. "For we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard did not combine it with faith." So the word could be released to each and every one of us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son." The seed could be released, but if we don't embrace the seed or the word with faith, it's nothing. It would just be remain as a word. Because those who heard did not combine it with faith. And that's the abortion of faith. In Romans 10:17, we could find here, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. It's tied up with Christ, brothers and sisters. Christ actually is the word. Next slide, it says here, hearing the word, which is the source of our faith, in John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. In verse number 14, it says there, and the word became flesh, and dwelt for a while among us. We have seen his glory, the one and only begotten Son, who came to the Father, from the Father, full of grace and truth. The word, or the mystery of the word, became flesh. And so in John 14:21, it says, he who has my commandments and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. I will show myself to him. So in essence, Jesus being the word and us receiving the word would become manifest in us. By faith, it is. You could see Christ in an individual. And he is true to his promise. He will manifest himself in us. Actually, the word, you could trace back the word even from the book of Genesis. In Genesis 1:1-3, it says here, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. So God the Father created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit of God was hovering all over the place. And then God said, let there be light. This is where we find our belief that God is three in one. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the Son being the Word. In Hebrews, going back to Hebrews 11:1-3, it says here, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. But in verse number 3, it says here, by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command through the Word. So that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So over here we could find God the Son, Jesus Christ, the Word, that through God's command, the Word, the world has been created. So we could hinge on this even from the beginning of time. Unfortunately, just like anybody else, we find competition all over the place, even in our families. Even in our workplace. And there is also competitors for the word in our lives. So in Genesis 3, going back again to origin of God's powerful word, it says here, now the serpent, in verse in chapter number 3, verses 1 to 3, it says here, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? So here comes a competitor, an adversary against the word of God. He would like to redefine the word. Actually, we could find more of the evidence of Satan or the serpent trying to twist the word of God. And so even when Christ was in the desert, the serpent was using words, the word of God, trying to redefine the word of God. Brothers and sisters, he's trying to do this because the truth of God's word, the living word of God, only dwells within truth. And so the father of lies comes and tries to distort the word. In Mark 4:3-9, it says, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. By the way, the birds over there is Satan himself and his demons. They came to eat it up. Some fell on rocky places. Now this is us, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still others fell, a seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. This is the potential of the word. Potential of the word in each and every one of us. Then Jesus said, he who has an ear, ears to hear, let him hear. So, the word is so important to each and every one of us. That is where our faith resides. That is where our faith could grow. Now the challenge would be, would the word, would you allow the word to become flesh? Would I, because I am not exempt over here, allow the word of God to dwell in me and bear those fruits and allow it to grow? The word has to become flesh. Now the characteristic of the word is this. I have chosen several verses over here as its characteristics. Psalms 119:9. It says here, it posed a question. How could a young man make his way pure? By living according to thy word. In verse number 11, it says there, thy word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against thee. So, if you want to be pure before the Lord, the word has that effect. It purifies you. And in Hebrews 4:12, it says here, but that the word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and the spirits, the joints and the marrows. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Excuse me. So, the word is a sword. Now, when you see a sword, it's if you're not careful, you're going to be cut by it, right? But in this case of the Word of God being a sword, we need to come to that point of saying, yes, I have faith that this sword, and allow this sword to cut me. I would allow the Word of God to cut me. And there's a lot of people that are not cut. Especially those in the family of God. They would say, I have faith, I have faith, I have faith in this doctor, but we don't allow the surgeon, the doctor, to cut us. We don't see the lordship of the word taking over a person's soul, a person's spirit. Now, 2 Timothy 3:16, it says there, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching. Sounds like cutting, isn't it? Rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We do, you know, there's a lot of believers that don't allow the word of God to cut them. So they are not rebuked. They don't, even though they read the word and say, oh, be holy for I am holy. Then if nobody's watching them, they go inside their room and they watch all these filthy movies. Because they don't allow the word to cut them. Philippians, it says there, whatever is true, 4:8, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy, think about such things. If you think about such things, but you're doing the opposite, then you're not allowing the word of God to cut you. So, if you don't allow the word of God to cut you, and the word is hinged in pistis, this is where we draw our strength, our faith, the strength of our faith. Then what kind of faith do we have apart from the word? Romans 8:29. It says, therefore, those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son. Who is the son? The son is the word. The moment that you exit this body and you are in the presence of God, the Lord would recognize you if you look like the word. If I look like the word. The more you look like the word, the better you are, the better I am. Because it's hinged in faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. You want to please God? Dig your faith in the Word. I have no choice but to dig myself in the Word. And the more I look like the Word, the more He would recognize me. Impossibilities of faith. Impossibilities of a life of faith. It is impossible to live a life of faith. Remember, the just shall live by faith. So it is impossible to live a life of faith without recognizing the Word or Christ as the highest influencing power and authority in our lives, in my life, and in your life. Number two, it is impossible to live a life of faith without true humility and contriteness of spirit, cutting off the Word, the cutting effect of the Word. Crucifixion is a prerequisite to living a life by faith. You have to be willing, I have to be willing to be cut. That when you are doing something, you're thinking something that is wrong, and you put the sword of the Lord opposed to it, you would say, hey, this is wrong. I would be willing, even though my soul is saying I want to participate in it, but because the Word is saying no, then go with the dictates of the Word and allow yourself to be cut. Number three, it is impossible to live a life of faith without keeping or fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, through the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of people that they know this in their mind, but they don't participate with the Holy Spirit, allowing the power of God to bring forth righteous living, righteous thinking, righteous priorities. John 6:63 says there, the Spirit gives life, but the flesh counts for nothing. Our investment is in the Spirit, not in our flesh. I'm not mad. I'm just preaching. Walking or living by faith is the greatest spiritual endeavor you and I are undertaking to learn even until our death. Living a life of faith. Every day, living a life of faith. Every month, every year, living a life of faith. This is our greatest spiritual endeavor until we die, brothers and sisters. This is the just shall live by faith. This is our walk. And we cannot separate ourselves from it. You see, there is the Word that came from God, which is Jesus Christ, and that Word is dwelling in truth. But the serpent came, tried to distort the Word. And we are living in a society of a distorted Word that people would be saying, it's in the Bible. God is love. You know, let's, Adam and Eve, forget about Adam and Eve. Let's do Adam and Steve. Okay? God is love anyway. You know? And there's now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And, you know. And so there's this distortion, brothers and sisters, into that. And we are living in that time. Let the Word be the Word. And allow the Word to dictate your conduct. Not you interpreting the Word and trying to distort it so that it would be fitting your conduct. It shouldn't be that way. The Word should be the highest authority, regardless of the Supreme Court. By the way, there is a court that is higher than the Supreme Court, brothers and sisters, and that is the court of God Almighty. That even those Supreme Court justice would be subjected when their time comes. The Apostle Paul has given us a powerful reminder over here in Colossians chapter 2. And it says here, so then, just as you received Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus as Lord, that made you just, right? That made me just. When the moment when we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, there is this imputation of His righteousness. God made Him who knew no sin to be sin in our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God through Him. We became the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. So that makes us stand just before Him. It is not our righteousness, it is His righteousness. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. How do you do that? How do you continue to live in Him, which is the Word? By faith. By faith. Rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. When we heard that message last Sunday, you know, Pot's pillow with the map. And if you were here, you know, the map is the laway. But He loves so much that pillow. What do you call that pillow? Precious? Precious. There is nothing in us, brothers and sisters, that is likable, but the Lord has called us forth from darkness. Colossians 1, 13, 14. He has rescued us out of the dominion of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom, the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sin. That is our position. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. We are not condemned anymore. We are just before Him. So we could overflow with thankfulness that God loved a pillow like us, a dust like us. Now He warned us in verse number 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principle of this world rather than on Christ. And Christ is the Word. There is a lot of information floating around there, voices, philosophy that depends on human tradition and basic principle of this world. But the world of God, the Word of God is from everlasting to everlasting. Jesus said it, you know, but my word shall never pass away. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given the fullness of Christ, who is head of every power and authority. The word came inside of you, and the word is interpreted by the Spirit inside of you. That's why you could live rightful faith. And I could live, because I'm not exempt to this, appropriate faith that is backed up by the foundation of the Word. So even if you have close friends, office mates, and they say, it's just a little this, a little that, and you, the Word of God inside you be saying, cutting you, teaching you, and saying no, then don't participate in it. Especially you, younger generations. If He who called you is holy, be holy. Don't argue with it. Don't try to wave around it and justify your conduct, trying to interpret the word according to your liking. Let the word stand. Isaiah 55, 11 and 12. So is my word. It shall not return to me void, but will accomplish my desire and achieve the purpose by which I sent it. When He sends His word, it's living. It will not return to Him void. God is so intentional with His word too, because He is the Word. Jeremiah 1:12, you've seen what is right, Jeremiah, for I am watching my word until it reaches its completion. God watches His word. His word is so precious to Him. It is through the word that He created the universe. It is the word that He created this earth. Every lice and cockroaches and every small bacteria and virus and everything else has been created by God Almighty through His word. That's how powerful the word is. Allow the word to cut you, and you will be looking like Him in time. I would like to call on the music group that we have over here. It is a time that we could come to God in our hearts and say, God, I am just. I am already forgiven from all my sins. my thoughts, my attitudes, and my actions. And it's just right, O Lord God, that I come to you humbly, allowing your word to take place in my life. That it would not remain out there or printed in a piece of paper, but I would like your word to become flesh, that I might reflect you more and more in my life, in my family life, in my work life, in my church life, in all my life, Lord. I want to become more like you. So as we dim the light back there, and if there's something that you feel like, Lord, I want to really walk by faith. I'm already just through the blood of Jesus Christ by your grace, but I want to reflect you more. I would like, O Lord God, to be in that place of true faith, pistis. That my pistis, or my faith, Lord God, is firmly persuaded about you and recognizes your lordship over me. If this is something that you have a dialogue with in your heart with the Lord at this moment as you close your eyes, I would like to invite you to repeat this prayer in your heart, in the presence of God Almighty. Follow me, if you will, even silently in your heart. Dear God in heaven, you are holy. No one could fathom who you are, the beauty you are, the majesty you are. But you had mercy upon me. You had grace upon me that the Word came. The Word came and invaded this dark world. The Word, your Son, Jesus Christ. And when He came, we didn't understand what love is, what mercy was, what grace was, until it was displayed by the Word through His life on that cross. Blood flowing, O Lord, and dripping down on the ground. The Word became flesh. And that was the only time, O Lord God, that we, in the flesh, understood what it was and who you are. I pray, O Lord God, that I, as I have received the Word as my Lord and Savior, that the Word would continue to cut me, O Lord, and mold me, O Lord, to teach me, rebuke me, counsel me, guide me in the path, O Lord God, of who you are. So that when I would be released, and the time would be coming that I would be released, and I stand before the perfection of who you are, I would look like you. I would look like the Word. Father, bless my journey. Teach me, O Lord, what the Word says. Throw everything that hinders, the sin that easily entangles, and fix my eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of my faith. You are the author and the finisher of my faith. Not this world, not anything in this world, Lord. Only you are the author and the finisher of my faith. So, Father God, I know there's brothers and sisters, Lord, talking to you in their hearts. May you honor, O Lord God, those whispered prayers for the glory of your name. Lord, you're looking for a bride that is pure and clean. It is only through your word that we could stand before you holy and clean. Have your way upon your people, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the Word became flesh. Amen. Amen.